Hey, Amy.
Oh, hey, Andy.
Are you eating lunch in here?
Yep.
Don't you have a podcast episode to write?
Well, that's why I'm eating and staring at my bowl of pasta with tomato sauce.
And how is staring at pasta going to help you write a podcast?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to spark some idea. I want the next episode of Unfold to be about food.
Where did you get those chunky tomatoes for your sauce?
Didn't they look good?
They do.
Out of a can from the store? I'm a great cook.
A can?
Yeah.
You know, tomatoes pair nicely of both pasta and UC Davis.
Huh?
Well, back in the 50s, a UC Davis plant breeder and an engineer walked into a bar. No, they teamed up to invent a mechanical tomato harvester. It was the first machine that sorted and loaded tomatoes automatically. The processing tomatoes, the one you use in cans for your sauce.
And I recall they also developed a new tomato that would be tough enough to survive that harvester. It was kind of square, wasn't it?
Yeah, the square tomato. Well, not really square, but you know, tough enough
square-ish.
To harvest. Square-ish. Yeah, so perfect pairing, don't you think? Technology and food.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, since part of my job at UC Davis is to tell stories about food and agriculture, and part of your job at UC Davis is to tell stories about engineering.
Well, then I've got an idea for an episode. Why don't we do something on the newest technology, artificial intelligence?
Just said it has to be on food.
Well, AI is used in agriculture. We have an entire institute at UC Davis devoted to this. Artificial Intelligence Institute for Next Generation Food Systems.
Okay, wait, hang on. Let me move my tomato sauce aside for the moment.
What are you doing with your laptop?
I'm opening up ChatGPT.
Are we supposed to be using that?
Shh.
Are you just going to have it write the episode?
Oh, let's not go there. Besides, I've tried it and it's not as good as we are. I still have to do the work.
Then you probably aren't using the right prompts. It's all about the right inputs.
You know what it is good at? Coming up with names for a podcast episode. Because calling the episode AI and Agriculture is boring. Here's an entire list. From Fields to Feasts, How AI Nourishes Our World. That sounds good.
That's no good. I like number two, Bites and Bites, Unraveling the AI Menu for Tomorrow's Food. See how it's a play on words of bites of an I and bites of a Y?
Yeah, but you just had to explain that to people. So people just listening to a podcast won't get it. Wait, this is it. Number four, Harvesting Intelligence, AI's Journey from Farm to Table.
And to Stomach.
We'll figure it out. Coming to you from UC Davis, this is Unfold. I'm Amy Quinton.
And I'm Andy Fell.
It seems almost every day we hear something new about artificial intelligence.
Harness the promise of AI to protect us from peril. Ban AI voice impersonations and more.
Opinions of AI vary tremendously. You love it, you're afraid of it, or a little of both.
AI is going to help us to be healthier, happier, more productive, and more creative.
The most important thing to know about AI, it's the first technology in history that can make decisions by itself and can create new ideas by itself.
Love it or hate it, however you feel about it, it's already changing the way we work, live, and even eat.
And AI has already entered the fields of agriculture.
Advances in the technology could improve the entire food system, from breeding better crops to providing more nutritious food.
It could even help you decide what food you should eat based on your own health.
This is a really transformative technology. In human history, there are a few times we had technologies that were so powerful, and it is such an opportunity for creating a better world.
That's computer science professor Ilias Togopoulos, who also directs the AI Institute for Next Generation Food Systems at UC Davis.
And our food system is an intricate network of breeders, farmers, producers, distributors, and retailers working to ensure that food gets from farm to fork.
The food system is really, really complex. The more complex a system becomes, the more the analysis of data and finding the best point of operation becomes difficult.
It gets even more complex when you factor in other challenges to the food system, like unpredictable weather, droughts and floods, climate change.
Or shortages in supplies, like fertilizer, or an increasing demand for food from a growing population.
And that's where AI can help, by analysing vast amounts of data, making predictions and learning from its mistakes. It can play a role from before a seed is planted in the ground up to the moment the food is eaten.
To understand this, let's start by talking about the tomato sauce in my bowl, Andy.
No, actually, we should start with the tomato.
Actually, we should get more granular than that.
You mean cellular?
Yeah, so let's begin with a plant breeder and geneticist.
I am Christine Diepenbrock, an assistant professor in the Department of Plant Sciences at UC Davis.
Christine says when breeding plants, for example, a tomato, breeders want to select plants with the best traits to cross with each other to create the next generation or new variety.
So they find the different regions of the genome that are favorable for creating those desired traits.
But there are several traits that are important.
This includes the marketable yield of the crop, it includes disease and pest resistance, it includes tolerance to drought and high temperatures, resource use efficiency, nutrient concentrations, post-harvest quality.
That's a lot of traits. And?
Those can be, you know, separately and together complex trait targets. There can be relationships between those traits, which might make it really hard to breed all of them at once.
But AI can take that data to predict complex patterns and relationships. So breeders can make sure by selecting traits that increase nutrition, they don't also decrease the plant's ability to tolerate drought, for example.
So we can get gains more quickly if we can accurately predict, say, how the next generation is going to perform or how a given crop variety might perform in a new environment where we haven't tested it before.
So now let's say we've got what we think is the best tomato seed to plant. And let's say in the Sacramento Valley, because that's where most processing tomatoes in the United States are grown.
And let's say it's been bred to be both drought and heat tolerant.
And that's also important in the Sacramento Valley.
And to be highly nutritious.
Perfect. Until the pests invade the field, or bad weather makes it the perfect breeding ground for mold.
It can be unpredictable, but on the farm, growers can use AI in all sorts of ways to improve their crop. AI-powered robotics can help growers apply the right amount of pesticide, herbicide, or fertilizer to get the highest yields.
Assistant Professor Mason Earls leads the Agricultural Production Cluster with the AI Institute.
We use a lot of cameras and other types of sensors on these robots, and those really need to process in near real time what they're seeing and be able to do something such as remove a weed that we don't want in the field, or you could even think of spray a certain amount of nitrogen where it's needed but not where it's not. So we could be using resources more efficiently or producing foods more effectively that way.
Think this is just really futuristic? Think again. Mason says growers are already using this type of computer vision in the field. John Deere is even advertising it for row crops.
See & Spray Ultimate uses proprietary camera technology that was developed by Blue River Technology, a subsidiary of John Deere. So it uses computer vision and machine learning to scan the field constantly for weeds from crop and then sprays only the weed.
Mason says adapting this AI technology to work in different types of specialty crops, the fruits, nuts, and vegetables that we grow in California, is the next step.
So AI can take different kinds of data in the field and combine them. For example, video cameras on tractors can capture images of plants.
Satellites can gather data on soil moisture. And then there are drones. Armed with the right technology, they can capture height, area, and volume of each plant and capture spectrums of light that humans can't see.
And all of that data could be combined with weather data and historical yield.
And AI can then help growers better predict yield while minimizing water and fertilizer use. Mason says AI can give growers a step up.
The challenge that they're dealing with is there's a lot of uncertainty out there in any given year, right? And so it's sort of giving them a superhuman suit to be able to go out and do the things they're doing better.
So now that our highly nutritious, drought and heat resistant tomatoes have been harvested, they head to the processing plant.
Well, hold on, Amy, because AI can be used before the tomatoes even get through the doors of the plant.
You're right.
Professor Chris Simmons, a chair of our Food Science and Technology Department, has used AI to try to predict the likelihood that a load of tomatoes could get rejected at the gate.
He says sometimes those tomatoes can get bruised, moldy, or squished, and that's a waste.
It's a concern for tomato processors, and it's a concern environmentally because each time a load of tomatoes is rejected, it's not just an economic loss, it's also a loss of all the resources that were used to produce and become embedded in those tomatoes. So all the water, the energy, the fertilizer, other inputs are lost.
Chris and other researchers at UC Davis and UC Berkeley looked at years of data on every load of tomatoes, including things like variety or type, where it was grown, and at what time of season.
They combined it with weather and climate data to train different AI algorithms to try to predict when a load of tomatoes would be rejected for mold.
And they did find some weak predictors.
Those would be the time of the season and the acidity or the pH of the tomatoes themselves.
So the models worked, but Chris says not in an ideal way.
They were predictive, but not with a specificity that would really allow anybody to say, well, this load coming from this location at this time of the season is really at a very high risk of having mold, and maybe we should not even bother.
Which just proves your point, Andy, that you made at the beginning of this episode about ChatGPT.
It's all about the right inputs?
Yeah, or in this case, more and better data.
So now these tomatoes have made it to the processor where they enter a high-tech, highly automated environment.
That sound you're hearing are tomatoes going through a flume system, up an elevator to be steam peeled, and eventually through a color sorting machine at Pacific Coast Producers Cannery in Woodland, California.
So the color sorting machine uses a line of cameras and sensors that can reject green tomatoes with little mechanical fingers.
It's an AI that's been around for decades, says former CEO Dan Vincent, who's also a UC Davis alum.
And you can't see the product going through. It's going so fast. And it's making decisions based on density, based on size, based on color, in a split second.
Pacific Coast Producers sells about 200 different product types, not just canned tomatoes and paste at the Woodland plant. They also sell sliced peaches, pears, fruit cocktail, maraschino cherries, every retail and food service distributor in North America.
And all those products get labeled at the company's plant in Lodi, about an hour away.
But that adds a huge amount of complexity. So you can say, okay, we have dozens and dozens of customers and 100 or 200 SKUs.
An SKU is a stock-keeping unit in industry speak. They label the same products for many different customers.
So you can take that and say, what are my data intersections? And for a company like ours, it's 14,000 theoretically unique items you have to manage.
Dan sees the next frontier of AI helping producers label all the different products while minimizing the number of times they must pause the equipment for a new label, because that's where you lose efficiency.
Those 14,000 unique items, I can look at history. I could lay on analytics or algorithms for seasonality, for promotions, for new items, for store count addition, and apply all that to a forecast of demand. We could then use those tools at that level to be more intelligent when we case and label to get bigger runs.
AI Institute for Next Generation Food Systems at UC Davis is hoping to work with companies like Pacific Coast Producers to research how AI could help improve food processing.
So now our tomatoes have been canned and are on my plate, but we're not done. You might be asking, should I eat this? Is it healthy? Well, advances in AI will make knowing what is nutritious much easier.
Right now, nutritionists track what people eat by making them fill out questionnaires or keep food diaries. But that's pretty tedious, says UC Davis adjunct professor Danielle LeMay. She's also with USDA's Western Human Nutrition Research Center.
And they're not particularly accurate either. Memories fail, and with the food frequency questionnaire, you kind of have to do math in your head to figure out, well, how often do I really eat that over the course of a month?
So she thought maybe AI and computer vision could help us track nutrition better.
Wouldn't it be great if we could just use our phones to capture what we're eating in order to better inform dietary assessment?
Danielle is working on an AI app capable of predicting health effects just from a food photo.
There are already AI apps that can estimate calories and nutrients of a meal from a food photo, but this would go much further.
We want to know even more about your food, what the nutrients are. Is just a piece of it, but there's this whole world of thousands of molecules in each food that we're starting to map with analytical chemistry.
The goal is to eventually come up with a detailed list of ingredients and micronutrients, their health effects and interactions. It would mean combining and analyzing databases about food to databases about molecules and how those molecules impact our health. It's a bit dizzying.
I just consider all the molecules that make up the ingredients of our food. Most of them are still unknown.
Elias Tagopoulos says we only know about 2% of what's in our food. It's referred to as the dark matter of food, and it can influence metabolism and physiological responses in the body.
And then just consider how different we are as individuals, age, weight, genetics.
It's hard for me to get my head around this.
But it's just the kind of big data problem that AI is good at solving. And if we get there, it'd be like having a personalized dietitian by your side, helping you make better, healthier food choices for your needs and goals.
So there is one last and very important piece of the AI and food systems puzzle, and that's integration.
Yes, as AI becomes routine at different steps of the food system, these steps can themselves be integrated by AI. For example, information gathered about crops growing in the field can be combined with AI for plant breeding.
Integration is a key goal of AI Institute for Next Generation Food Systems. Again, Danielle LeMay.
Within different parts of the food system, there's many interconnecting loops. And if you only think about one of them and you're siloed, you'll not be able to solve the whole food system issues.
And that's important, because AI could solve many of the food system's most challenging problems. Elias Tagopoulos says AI holds promise of a healthier, more sustainable planet.
It will allow us to be more efficient in the way that we grow food and we consume food. And that means lower cost, lower resources, and better, healthier food for us.
That's not to say AI comes without issues. Elias says regulation, but not over-regulation, is key to making sure AI is ethical, trustworthy, and equitable.
Sure, but you know what, Amy? We'll probably find in a few years that AI fades into the background.
Huh?
Yeah. AI will just be crunching big data in the background, helping breeders and farmers and processors and consumers to do what they want to do more efficiently. We won't think about it any more than we think about why there's a label on a can of tomatoes.
I bet this can of tomatoes I used in my pasta came from that woodland plant.
Quite probably.
Does it say it on the label?
I don't think so. I don't know.
See, just thought about a label on a can of tomatoes.
Well, that wraps up this episode. You can learn more about AI Institute for Next Generation Food Systems on our website at ucdavis.edu/unfold.
And there you'll find links to a longer story that Andy did on AI in the food system, plus cool AI-generated photos and videos, and even this episode transcribed by AI. I'm Amy Quentin.
And I'm Andy Fell. Thanks for listening.
This entire episode was written by ChatGPT.
Kidding. Unfold is a production of UC Davis. It's edited by Marianne Rush-Sharp. Original music for Unfold comes from Damien Verrett and Curtis Jerome Haynes. Additional music comes from Blue Dot Sessions.